Hello, everyone. We are continuing on with the mystery of providence from John Flavel. And we're still in an overall part two meditation on the providence of God. And still in chapter 10, the advantages of meditating on providence. And last time we did part three, which included the points, the remembrance of former providences will minister to your souls, continual matter of praise and thanksgiving, which is the very employment of the angels in heaven and the sweetest part of our lives on earth. And the other point was the due observation of providence will endear Jesus Christ every day more and more to your souls. And then that brought us up to the next point, which is where we left off last time. And then, Lord willing, we're going to continue with that one for this reading. And I will go ahead and start. It says, the due observations of providence have a marvelous efficacy to melt the heart and make it thaw and submit before the Lord. Mr. Flavel says, how can a sanctified heart do less than melt into tears while it either considers the dealings of God from time to time with it, or compares the mercies received with the sins committed, or the different administrations of providence towards itself and others? Let a man but set himself to think deliberately and closely of the ways of providence toward him, and let him but follow the leading of providence, as it has led him all along the way that he has gone. Now, he uses it, the it pronoun for providence, as a neutral pronoun, even though he recognizes that providence does come from the hand of God. So as providence has led him all along the way to consider deliberately and closely, and if there is any principle of gracious tenderness in him, he shall meet with a variety of occasions to excite and draw it forth. Go back with your serious thoughts to the beginning of the ways of God with you, the mercies that broke out early in your youth, even the firstborn mercies from the womb of providence, and you will say, what need I go farther? Here is enough, not only to move, but overwhelm my heart. So when providence, go all the way back to when you understand providence started dealing with you specifically. And if you do, it should overwhelm your heart for God's great mercies. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth? Jeremiah 3, verse 4. What a critical time is the time of youth. It is the molding age, M-O-U-L-D, when you're molded into something. And ordinarily, according to the course of those leading providences, after providences do steer their course. What levity, rashness, ignorance, and strong propensities to sin and ruin accompany that age. How many being then left to the sway of their own lusts, and lust can be just generally any corruption of the heart, left to the sway of their own lusts and corruptions in their hearts, run themselves into those sins and miseries which they never recover themselves from to their dying day. These, like the errors of the first concoction, are rarely rectified afterwards. Did the Lord guide you by his providence when but a child? Did he then preserve you from those follies and misdemeanors which blast the very blossom and nip the bud, so that no good fruit is to be expected afterwards? Did he then cast you into such families, or among such company and acquaintance, as molded and formed your spirit into a better disposition? Did he then direct you into that way of employment in which you have seen so large a train of happy consequences ever since following you? And will you not from henceforth say, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth? Let us but bring our thoughts close to the providences of after times and consider how the several changes and removes of our lives have been ordered for us. things we never foresaw nor designed, but much better for us than what we did design, have been all along ordered for us. The way of a man is not in himself. God's thoughts have not been our thoughts, nor his ways our ways, Isaiah 55, verse 8. Among the eminent mercies of your life, reader, how many of them have been mere surprises to you? Your own projects have been thrust aside to make way for better things designed by providence for you. Nay, do but observe the springs and autumns of providence, in what order they have flourished and faded with you, and you will find yourself overpowered with the sense of divine wisdom and goodness. When necessity required, such a friend was stirred up to help you, such a place opened to receive you, such a relation raised up or continued to refresh you. And no sooner does providence deprive you of any of them, but either your need of them ceases, or some other way is opened to you. Oh, the depth of God's wisdom and goodness! Oh, the matchless tenderness of God to his people! Compare the dealings of providence with you and others, yea, with others that sprang up with you in the same generation, it may be in the same families and from the same parents, it may be in families greater and more flourishing in the world than yours, and see the difference upon many great accounts it has made between you and them. I knew a Christian who, after many years' separation, was visited by his own brother, the very sight of whom wrought upon him much as the sight of Benjamin did upon Joseph, so that he could not refrain to fall upon his neck and weep for joy. But after a few hours spent together, finding the spirit of his brother not only estranged from all that is spiritual and serious, but also very vain and profane, he hastened to his chamber, shut the door upon him, threw himself down at the feet of God, and with flowing eyes and a melting heart, admired the distinguishing grace of God, saying, "Was not Esau Jacob's brother?" Malachi 1 verse 2. Oh, grace, grace, astonishing grace. Compare the behavior of providence towards you with your own behavior towards the Lord, and it must needs melt your hearts to find so much mercy bestowed where so much sin has been committed. What place did you ever live in where you cannot remember great provocations committed, and, notwithstanding that, manifold mercies received? Oh, with how many notwithstandings and neverthelesses has the Lord done you good in every place? What relationship has not been abused by sin, and yet both raised up and continued by providence for your comfort? In every place, God has left the marks of his goodness, and you the remembrances of your sinfulness. Give yourselves but leave to think of these things, and it will be strange if your hearts do not melt at the remembrance of them. Or lastly, do but compare your dangers with your fears, and both with the strange outlets and doors of escape providence has opened, and it cannot do less than overpower you with a full sense of divine care and goodness. There have been dark clouds seen to rise over you, judgment even at your door, sometimes threatening your life, sometimes your liberty, sometimes your estates, and sometimes your dearest relatives, in whom, it may be, your life was bound up. Remember in that day what faintness of spirit seized you, what charges of guilt stirring up fears of the issue within you. You turn to the Lord in that distress, and has he not made a way to escape and delivered you from all your fears? Psalm 34, verse 4. Oh, is your life such a continued throng, such a mad hurry, that there is no time for Christians to sit alone and think on these things and press these marvelous manifestations of God in his providences upon their own hearts? Surely, might these things but lie upon our hearts, talk with our thoughts by day, and lodge with us at night, they would even force their passage down to our very reins, R-E-I-N-S. All right, and that's the end of that point, and he goes on to the next point. Due observation of providence will both beget and secure inward tranquility in your minds amidst the vicissitudes and revolutions of things in this unstable, vain world. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety, Psalm 4, verse 8. He resolves that the sinful fear of events shall not rob him of his inward quiet, nor torture his thoughts with anxious forebodings. He will commit all his concerns into that faithful fatherly hand that had hitherto wrought all things for him, and he does not mean to lose the comfort of one night's rest, nor bring the evil of tomorrow upon today, but knowing in whose hand he was, wisely enjoys the sweet felicity of a resigned will. Now, this tranquility of our minds is as much begotten and preserved by a due consideration of providence as by anything whatever. Hence it was that our Lord Jesus Christ, when he would cure the disciples' anxious and distracting care about a livelihood, bids them consider the care providence has over the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, how it feeds the one and clothes the other without any anxious care of theirs, and would have them well consider these providences and reason themselves into a calm and sweet composure of spirit from those considerations, Matthew 6, verses 27 through 34. Two things destroy the peace and tranquility of our lives: our bewailing past disappointments or fearing future ones. But what would we once learn pre-vision and provision or provision to be divine prerogatives, and take notice how often providence baffles those that pretend to it, causing the good they foresaw, according to their conjectures, coming to their hand, yet to balk them and flee from them, and the evil they thought themselves sufficiently secured from to invade them. I say, would we consider how providence daily baffles these pretensions of men and asserts its own dominion, it would greatly conduce to the tranquility of our lives. This is a great truth, that there is no face of adversity so formidable, but being viewed from this station would become amicable. Now, there are several things in the consideration of providence that naturally and kindly compose the mind of a Christian to peace, P-E-A-C-E, and bring it to a sweet rest while events hang in a doubtful suspense. First, the supremacy of providence and its uncontrollable power in working. This is often seen in the good that it brings us in a way that is above the thoughts and cares of our minds and labor of our hands. I had not thought, said Jacob, to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed, Genesis 48, verse 11. There is a frequent coincidence of providences in a way of surprise, which from no appearance or the remotest tendency of outward causes could be foreseen, but rather falls visibly contrary to the present scheme and state of our affairs. When he says coincidence, he's using that just as an example of things kind of unknown that seem to not relate, but indeed they are. They are related by God's providential hand. Nothing tends to convince us of the vanity and folly of our own anxieties and fears more than this does. Second, the profound wisdom of providence in all that it performs for the people of God. The wheels are full of eyes, Ezekiel 1 verse 18, that is, there is an intelligent and wise spirit, the Holy Spirit, that sits upon and governs the affairs of this world, or more generally, the Spirit of God. This wisdom shines out to us in the unexpected, yea, contrary events of things. How often have we been courting some beautiful appearance that invited our senses, and with trembling shunned the formidable face of other things, when, notwithstanding, the issues of providence have convinced us that our danger lay in what we courted, and our good in what we so studiously declined. This also is a sweet principle of peace and quiet to the Christian's mind, that he knows not, but his good may be intended in what seemed to threaten his ruin. Many were the distresses and straits or difficulties of Israel in the wilderness, but all was to humble them, that he might do them good in the latter end, that God would, Deuteronomy 8, verse 16. Sad and dismal was the face of that providence that sent them out of their own land into the land of the Chaldeans, yet even this was a project to do them good, Jeremiah 24, verse 5. How often have we retracted our rash and headlong censures of things upon experience of this truth, and been taught to bless our afflictions and disappointments in the name of the Lord. Many a time have we kissed those troubles at parting, which we met with trembling. And what can promote peace under doubtful providences more effectually than this? The experiences we have had throughout our lives of the faithfulness and constancy of providence are of excellent use to allay and quieten our hearts in any trouble that befalls us. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us, 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. We never found him wanting to us or lacking to us in any case hitherto. God, we haven't found God lacking to us. This is not the first strait or difficulty we have been in, nor the first time that our hearts and hopes have been low. Surely he is the same God now as heretofore. His hand is not shortened, neither does his faithfulness fail. Oh, recount in how great extremities of former experience has taught you not to despair. The conjectures Christians may make of the way of providence toward them from what its former methods have been towards them is exceedingly quieting and comfortable. It is usual with Christians to compare times with times and to guess at the issue of one providence by another. The saints know what course providence usually holds and accordingly, with great probability, infer what they may expect from what in like cases they have formerly observed. Christian, examine your own heart and its former observations, and you will find, as in Psalm 89, verses 30 to 32, that it is usually the way of God to prepare some smart rods of chastisement, to correct you when either your heart has secretly revolted from God and is grown vain, careless, and sensual is more generally just focused on things that please the senses, or when your steps have declined and you have turned aside to commit iniquity. And then when those rods of chastisement have been sanctified to humble and reduce and purge your heart, it is usually observed that those sad providences are then upon the change, and then the Lord changes the voice of his providence towards you. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, Jeremiah 3, verses 12 to 13. If therefore I find the blessed effects of the rod upon me, that it has done its work to break the hard heart and pull down the proud heart and awaken the drowsy heart and quicken the slothful, negligent, lazy heart, now with great probability I may conjecture a more comfortable aspect of providence will quickly appear. The refreshing and reviving time is nigh. It is usual with Christians to argue themselves into fresh reviving hopes when the state of things is most forlorn by comparing the providences of God one with another. It is a mighty composing meditation when we compare the providences of God towards the inanimate and irrational creatures with his providences towards us. Does he take care for the very fowls of the air for whom no man provides, as well as those at the door which we daily feed? Does he so clothe the very grass of the field, hear the young ravens when they cry for meat? And can it be supposed he should forget his own people that are of much more value than these? Matthew 6, verses 26 and 30. Or if we compare the bounty and care that providence has expressed to the enemies of God, how it feeds and clothes and protects them, even while they are fighting against him with his own mercies, it cannot but quieten and satisfy us that surely he will not be wanting or lacking to that people upon whom he has set his love, to whom he has given his Son, and for whom he has designed heaven itself. Lastly, it must needs quieten us when we consider what the Lord did for us in the way of his providence when we ourselves were in the state of nature and enmity against God. Did he not then look after us when we did not know him, provide for us when we did not own him in any of his mercies, bestow thousands of mercies upon us when we had no title to Christ or any one promise? And will he now do less for us since we are reconciled and become his children? Surely such considerations as these cannot but fill the soul with peace and preserve the tranquility of it under the most disturbing providences. All right, that's the end of that point. And then he comes up to the next point, which says, due observations of the ways of God in his providences towards us have an excellent usefulness and aptitude to advance and improve holiness in our hearts and lives. But we are going to go ahead and stop there for this reading, and then, Lord willing, pick up with that one the next time. But until then, go asking God again to bring to mind the providences he has brought into your lives. May we submit to his providential hand and his rods of affliction, remembering that these things work for our good if we're his children. Even if they feel most difficult, and often the most difficult one is the best one for us because they bring us to humility and keep us, hopefully, from sin, which is often their purpose. And may we call to mind these things in providences past, under current providences and difficulties, and may we submit quietly under his caring hand, remembering the God who has brought salvation to us and given his Son to us. And if you don't have salvation from him and don't have an interest in Christ, We pray that you would consider these things, that you would drop the weapons of your warfare and submit to God in salvation, to Christ in his atoning work, and that you'd ask him to be your Savior, and that that God might grant that to you and grant you salvation to become one of his children, and in obedience and living with him forever in humble submission and in glory one day with him. Amen. And Lord willing, we will talk to you again soon.